Welcome to ACT Radio, Animal Concerns of Texas. I'm Greg Lawson.
I'm Tom Linney.
And I'm Liz Walsh.
Here on ACT, we talk about how we humans relate to other animals.
We talk about how we use them for food, clothing, and entertainment, and how there are humane alternatives to these practices.
And we also discuss why a plant-based diet is the healthiest for humans and the best thing one can do for the environment.
So if you're concerned about the environment, if you're concerned about your health, if you're concerned about the way animals are treated, stay with us for Animal Concerns of Texas. Coming up on today's show, we feature a conversation with Wayne Pacelli, CEO and President of the Humane Society of the United States. That's a little later on the program, but first some news.
From the online newsletter, The Dodo. Her name was Sambo, and after a life of hard labor, she's gone. She'd been carrying two tourists throughout the scorching heat in Cambodia for 40 minutes when her body couldn't take it anymore. Just after last week's collapse at Angkor Elephant Park, where she's worked for the past 15 years, 45-year-old Sambo died of a heart attack. Temperatures that day reached 104 degrees Fahrenheit. Sambo is sadly not alone in her plight. Elephants who are forced to give rides often collapse out of sheer exhaustion. What happens before an elephant ride is enough suffering for a whole lifetime, though. After the training, which crushes the animal's wild spirit, the elephant is used for profit at tourist attractions. Then, what happens to elephants' bodies when people ride them just adds to their pain. For Sambo, only the sad end of her life was out in the open for everyone to see. 13 elephants remain at Angkor Elephant Park, and their lives hang in the balance. To sign a petition to ban elephant riding at Angkor, please visit thedodo.com. And as you're making summer travel plans, leave elephant rides off your agenda and go see them in their natural habitats instead.
The Center for Biological Diversity reports that a coalition of wolf conservation groups, environmental organizations, and a retired federal wolf biologist announced a court settlement requiring that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service prepare a long-delayed recovery plan for Mexican gray wolves by November 2017. With only 97 individuals existing in the wild at the end of 2015 and fewer than 25 in Mexico, the Mexican gray wolf is one of the most endangered mammals in North America and faces a serious risk of extinction. Thanks to the courts, the service is finally required to meet its legal obligation of completing a legally sufficient recovery plan with the ultimate goal of a healthy, sustainable population of Mexican gray wolves in the wild. According to Tim Presso, an attorney with Earth Justice, the settlement provides the hope that the lobo can be a living, breathing part of the southwestern landscape instead of just a long-lost frontier legend. But to realize that hope, federal officials must take up the challenge of developing a legitimate, science-based recovery plan for the Mexican wolf rather than yielding to political pressure. Maggie Hall, executive director of Wolf Conservation, adds that failing to plan is planning to fail, and that for these iconic imperiled wolves, failure means extinction. This settlement represents a necessary and long overdue step toward recovering America's most endangered gray wolf and preventing an irrevocable loss from happening on our watch. For more information, go to biologicaldiversity.org.
According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, more than half of all U.S. adults suffer from one or more chronic health conditions such as heart disease, stroke, cancer, diabetes, obesity, or arthritis. These diseases and conditions are among the most expensive of all health problems. 90% of the nation's total health care spending goes to treat people with one or more of these chronic medical conditions, all of which are preventable by adopting a healthy diet and lifestyle. In our nation's medical schools, students are required to complete a mere 25 hours of nutrition instruction in their studies. And that's just one short class over a single semester. A recent study revealed that only a quarter of more than 100 medical schools in the U.S. are even meeting that minimum recommendation. That means 75% of medical programs barely train their students in nutrition at all. Fortunately, things are getting better. Midland Memorial Hospital in Texas is now promoting a plant-based plan to help its patients prevent and cure disease. Midland Memorial Hospital, a leading medical facility in our state, is the first in Texas to promote a plant-based diet for treatment and prevention of disease. The hospital now offers plant-based meals for their patients as a prescribed diet, and they are educating staff and visitors of the health benefits of plant-based diets. Last year, the all-vegan hospital Bernard Medical Center opened in Washington, D.C. to promote food as medicine, and they have inspired many other medical facilities to follow suit. If you're concerned about your health, if you're concerned about doctors who know very little about nutrition, if you're concerned about our country's rising health care costs, act now to take personal control of your health and eat a diet based on plant foods. Stay with us. Coming up next on ACT Radio, a conversation with Wayne Pacelli, President and CEO of the Humane Society of the United States and author of the new book, The Humane Economy. That's next on ACT Radio.